In today's gospel, the Lord goes back home. He goes back home to Nazareth. And it says that he was amazed at their lack of faith. The Greek word here for amazed is he was stunned, he was shocked, he was flabbergasted at the lack of faith. So today I want to talk for a few moments about the virtue of faith and how pleasing faith is to God. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to be pleasing to God. Now my favorite story of faith is the one I shared at the Easter Vigil this year with our converts. And it was a story of the three nuns that were driving in the car, leaving their work at the hospital, driving back home to the convent, and the car ran out of gas. The nuns were by the side of the road, about 2 miles from any gas station. They looked in the back of their car. They didn't have any gas cans. All they had were bedpans, from the hospital work. So they each took one and they walked 2 miles, filled them up with gas, and very carefully walked 2 miles back to the car. And then it began to pour the bedpans into the gas tank. So imagine this sight. Well, a Baptist minister drives by with his wife, and he sees these nuns in long flowing habits, and he sees what they're doing, and he turns to his wife and says, "That's what I call faith." And they also said, if that car starts, I'm going to become a Catholic. So it says the Lord was amazed at their lack of faith. See, this was the second time the Lord went back to Nazareth after he had sort of moved camp over to Capernaum. The Lord was born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth for 30 years, and then as soon as he began his public ministry, for 3 years, he centered it in Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee. That's where he used as his home base. But then he did go back to Nazareth in the beginning, and you know what? They wanted to throw him off a cliff. People picked up stones to throw at him because he said that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, and they couldn't take it. And they wanted to kill him. Well, he escaped that time, but now he goes back a second time to Nazareth to give them another chance. And the Lord goes back and he goes and preaches in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And again, this time it says they were astonished. And they couldn't accept him. They had no faith that he was the Son of God. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom is he being given? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? The Lord had just raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead a few days before. He had cured the woman who had the bleeding, the 12 years of bleeding. He had worked countless miracles." So he goes back home to Nazareth, and they couldn't accept him. They weren't accepting him. And they said, "Is he not the carpenter?" See, by this time, it seems that St. Joseph had already died. And so now Jesus was called the carpenter. He would have taken over the business. And what really offended the people and scandalized them was that it seemed that for 30 years he seemed so ordinary, doing the carpentry work. They grew up with him. He went to their, synagogue. And now, of course, he's claiming to be the Son of God. He's working miracles. And it says they took offense at him. They couldn't accept it. They said, "Is he not the carpenter?" Then it makes an interesting point here. It says, "Is he not the son of Mary?" Is he not the son of Mary? See, in those days, you never called anyone the son of the mother. It was always the son of the father. So obviously, this also would indicate that probably St. Joseph had already died. But it also indicates, of course, that Mary was his mother, but Joseph was not his physical father. Joseph was the foster father. So he's called the son of Mary. In the Greek, that indicates one child. It does not say he was one of the sons of Mary or one of the children of Mary. The Bible doesn't say that. It says the son of Mary. And that Greek word indicates that Mary had no other children. And that's what the Catholic Church has always taught, that Mary was perpetually a virgin before, during, and after the birth of Christ. But then somebody says, well, the very next sentence says, Don't we know his brother James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And sometimes people outside the church say, well, that proves that the Catholic Church is wrong. Because you, Catholic Church, you teach that Mary had no other children, and yet it mentions these four other individuals, as well as perhaps other sisters. How do you respond to that? Well, of course, it mentions these relatives of Christ. The word brother, adelphos, obviously could mean physical brother, but it also means nephew and uncle and other relatives. And we know for a fact from Scripture that two of these individuals, James and Joseph, were the sons of Mary, the wife of Clopas, perhaps the sister of our Blessed Mother. If Mary had other children, they would have taken care of her at the foot of the cross. But remember, Jesus is the Son of Mary, the only one she ever had. These are other relatives, cousins, and other relationships. At the foot of the cross, since Mary had no other children, Jesus had to entrust his mother to a disciple, to John, who was not a relative. And that again indicates Mary had no other children. So yes, the Bible talks about these brothers and sisters of Christ, but never does it mention or even indicate that these were Mary's children. Jesus was the only son of Mary. And the reason why that's important, obviously, not only is it true, but the Catholic Church is infallibly taught that Mary is always virgin. So if the Catholic Church is wrong on this, then it could be wrong on something else. But we know that the Catholic Church is teaching truth. The Catholic Church teaches the holy truth that comes to us revealed by God. And so we know that Mary is perpetually virgin before, during, and after the birth of Christ. And that these other ones that are mentioned here are other relatives, but not Mary's own children. So that's just a little side note. And again, remember in Scripture, when it refers to brother, it does mean cousin oftentimes. For example, the Bible says Lot was Abraham's brother, but we know he was actually his nephew. And one last point about this. Martin Luther, John Calvin, and Zwingli, the three most important Protestant reformers, they all believed in the perpetual virginity of Mary. Did you know that? It's only modern non-Catholic Christians that doubt that. But Martin Luther, John Calvin, and Zwingli, the three that started it all, they all believed that Mary had no other children. So again, that's just a very interesting side point. So the Lord then is amazed at their lack of faith, and he says, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own place and indeed in his own house. And it says the Lord did hardly work any miracles there because of their lack of faith. See, it's so important for us to have this virtue of faith. The more faith we have, the more the Lord can work in our life. St. Augustine says, God created us without our cooperation, but he will not save us without our cooperation, our faith. That's how important it is to have faith. So I would just suggest, to grow in our faith, we should first of all pray every day for an increase in the virtue of faith. Have this beautiful prayer, Lord, increase my faith. The prayer that's said in Scripture from some of the disciples, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So pray every day for an increase in the virtue of faith. Remember, faith is a virtue by which we believe in God and all that God has revealed to us. I would also suggest a second way to grow in our faith. First is prayer. The second is study. Study your faith. Read the sacred scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. Read the Word of God. Get to know the Bible. Get to know it well. Read your catechism. The Bible and the catechism should go hand in hand. One explains the other. Read your catechism. Read excellent books on Catholic apologetics. Learn how to explain and defend your faith to other people. Listen to the CDs. We have tons of CDs for free in the vestibule, and again now at the side doors, as well as these incredible pamphlets by the Knights of Columbus. These booklets are excellent to learn and to deepen your faith. So when you leave Mass every Sunday, you should at least take one or two with you, read them during the week, and then give them to a friend and pass them out. That's how you evangelize. Also, deepen your faith by watching EWTN. Watch the Catholic Channel. You'll learn a great deal about your faith that way. There are excellent Catholic websites. It's one of the great things about modern technology is the excellent Catholic websites that are available to deepen our faith. And lastly, number three, besides prayer and study, the best way to grow in your faith is to spread your faith. Share your faith with others. The CCD teachers tell me that it's the best thing they ever did to learn the catechism, to learn the faith, was to begin teaching religious ed. They learn so much by teaching. The same thing, you want to pass the faith on to your kids and grandkids? Then study your faith and teach them. Share it with them. Evangelize. Knock on doors, visit the nursing homes, the hospitals, the prisons, go visit the elderly or the sick. Do something to share your faith with others. The more you share it, the stronger your faith will be. If you don't share your faith, it will begin to atrophy, it will begin to shrink, and it will begin to become stagnant. If you've been to the Holy Land, take a look at the Dead Sea. Nothing can grow there, nothing can live there. It receives the Jordan River, but it keeps it to itself. It has no outlet. And because of that, it's become stagnant. Go up north to the Sea of Galilee, it's teeming with life and fish. It receives the Jordan River, and it gives it forth. It has an outlet. So if you want to become strong in your faith, think of ways to spread the faith through the pro-life movement, through teaching, through evangelization, the Legion of Mary, these different wonderful ways to share your faith. I guarantee it, though, the more you share your faith, the stronger your faith will be. God bless you.